Hello and welcome back to Anointed Fire. My name is Tiffany Buckner and today I want to answer a few questions that I didn't get a chance to answer on the recent broadcast that I posted on YouTube, which is entitled All About Lust. I saw today I was going through the comments and I noticed that I had quite a few questions that were not answered on that broadcast. So I wanted to come out and answer those questions. And so let me go ahead and say this before we get into it. Forgive me if I don't mention your question, because 9 times out of 10, I did not see it. I think I've only saw one question on there that I completely ignored. And it's because a woman was basically asking a question that was just common sense. You know, why can't I sleep with somebody if I'm attracted to them? That was common sense. You know, if you happen to be a believer, a true believer. And so that's one of the questions I'm not addressing. So I want to go ahead and jump into it. I think I found like 5 questions that I didn't get a chance to answer, or I didn't see it. So anyhow, let's go ahead and get into it. The first question is, he divorced me to marry his lover. He was having an affair with his female coworker. I did not want a divorce. We were both believers. By the word of God, am I allowed to remarry? Yes, ma'am, you are. There are 2 ways that you're allowed to remarry according to the word of God. One of them is adultery. One of them is adultery. Another one is if the unbeliever leaves. Of course, we know that death freezes, but if the unbeliever leaves, the believer is not bound in such case. And here's the thing. A lot of people, when they read 1 Corinthians, they read it from their understanding. They read it from a modern day mindset. You have to really study the Bible and come to understand that Paul was addressing an issue that was common in that church, that was common in the church of Corinth. And so he was addressing an issue. Jesus has basically got us away from the curse of the law. We are no longer bound by the curse of the law. What does that mean? We don't have a set of rules. We don't see the thing is a lot of people are trying to do is replace the 10 commandments, which we know that we still must fulfill because it's still beneficial for teaching. What does that mean? It means that I'm still not supposed to lie. But there are 2 things that God gave us, 2 things that Jesus gave, two new laws. And basically they are, they sum up the 10 commandments. They sum up everything. He said, you are to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your understanding. And you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are the 2 new laws. That sums everything up. And so now if I go out there and I lie, then that means that it's not out of love. That's selfish ambition that came from a selfish place. And so when people come out and they're telling you, oh no, you know, by the new law, by this law, you're not allowed to remarry because these are circumstances. Those people are bound by the law. I need you guys to hear that they're bound by the law. They don't not necessarily understand the word of God. Now, because of love, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself. Who is my neighbor? My neighbor isn't just the person who lives next door to me. My neighbor is everybody and anyone I come in contact with, including the husband. And so I'm supposed to love him as I love myself. Would I divorce my husband or would I divorce myself? No, I would not divorce myself. I would divorce a mindset. And so what God wants us to understand is that, listen, we need to divorce mindsets that bring divorce. And so if I'm married to a guy, and this guy, let's say we're not getting along, irreconcilable differences is not a justification for a divorce. That means I have failed to love that man as I love myself. Or if he's the one filing for divorce, that means he has failed to love me as he loves himself. And we don't love God with our whole heart and our whole mind. We don't love God with everything that we are. Because if I love God, then I will go ahead and make that sacrifice. I will put my feelings on the altar. I will put everything about me on the altar. And I'm going to try to work that marriage out. Now, when another person becomes involved, I come to understand why God will allow us to be free when another person gets into the picture. When adultery comes into the picture, if you watch any of these shows where people were killed, people tend to get crazy when they get in a relationship with somebody else, especially if they feel like you're holding them back. And so if he went out and he divorced you and he married his lover, you are free to remarry. And so don't listen to what anybody else may say in regards to that. And I always tell people this, pray about it. There are just a lot of people out there who are simply religious. They read the word, the Bible, and it's just word for word. They don't understand the word of God. They don't understand it. And so when they start reading, people like that can't even read the book of Revelations because everything to them, they don't understand that a lot of the stuff that is written is symbolic. And so for them, it's just literal. We're going to see a dragon walking around with 7 heads and all this other stuff. But that may be symbolic. Now, we may see or in that time, they may see a dragon walking around with seven heads, but it may be symbolic of something else. And so a lot of people don't necessarily understand that everything is black and white to them, and they live from a religious understanding. That's because they flip the Bible. They don't have a conversation with God and say, God, give me an understanding of this. You got to remember that Jesus spoke in parables to his disciples. And so a lot of people read the Bible and they don't have an understanding. They don't have an understanding of the times when something was spoken. They don't understand have an understanding of what the word of God means. There are some people out there who say that women can't be leaders. Women can't be preachers or apostles and stuff like that. And that's not true. And so they're going by what they saw in the Bible, but they never really just went throughout the Bible and just read it. And so everything is black and white. And for them, a lot of people are law-minded. And so when you're law-minded and you're reading the Bible, you're going to read something and that becomes a law. You're going to focus on it and then you're going to start teaching it. You're teaching from a law mindset. But if you read that thing and you read the entire Bible, then you'll get an understanding. I'll give you another example of something that's oftentimes misquoted. The Bible talks about the rich young centurion. And so there are people out there who genuinely believe that it's a sin to get rich, and that if you're rich, you won't get into the kingdom of God. And these people will get out, they will carry their Bibles and they will scream it at the top of their lungs. They're very emotional about their beliefs. They are very firm in their beliefs. They really believe that you cannot be rich. But if you were to continue reading, because the Bible says when Jesus was dealing with the story, he said that it is easier for a rich man it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to get into heaven. We read that. We know that it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. But he also came, if you continue reading, he said, but with men, these things are impossible. But with God, these things are possible. With God, it is possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. With God, all of these things are possible. So we like to look at things from a natural standpoint, from a point of, well, no, that's impossible. That's this and that's that. Well, if we deal with the realm of impossibility, then we ought to deal with the fact that it should have been impossible for Jesus to raise the dead or to even be lifted up and to go to heaven. We ought to deal with that. So again, a lot of times people come at you from their understanding. They're reading from a religious standpoint. Many of them don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not consulting with him. And I tell people this all the time. A legalist does not study the Bible so that the legalist can get understanding, get closer to God. A legalist reads the Bible so that they can be right. A legalist likes to come out and argue, and that's it. And so if you look at a person like that, you can see their bondage. You can see they're so bound by their beliefs. They go to religious churches, or they might go out on feet and they're walking around, and you can see the spirit of anger on them. You can see the spirit of rage because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're teaching from a religious standpoint. They have studied the Bible in the very same way you study a history book. They studied the Bible and they memorized many of the scriptures, but they don't have the Holy Spirit to have understanding. The Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. And so, yes, woman of God, I know we went a little bit long on that, but yes, woman of God, you are allowed to remarry. The next question is, when someone sins and is told to repent in front of the church, should other members be able to stand and tell that person what they did wrong for hours? I can't really speak to that too much because I don't know the particular church that you go to. One of the things I can say is that every church has its own culture, and they have their own laws. Back in the old days, it was okay for a leader to rebuke a person in front of their congregation. And I still don't necessarily think there's something wrong with that, especially if that person is blatant with their sin. For example, if you're living in fornication and it's causing other people to go astray, I think, yes, that needs to be dealt with because there are some young girls in there who may be led astray. And so if you're public and out with your sin, you walking around with your boyfriend and people know it, then of course, yes, I think that it's okay for them to rebuke you publicly. A lot of times we sin publicly, but we want to be rebuked privately, and that's error. And so, no, there's nothing wrong with him rebuking you in front of the congregation. Now, should the congregants be allowed to stand up and tell you? Then that, if that's the culture of the house, that's the culture of the house. I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't think it's a good idea because, of course, a lot of times people end up feeling attacked. You may be too young for that type of rebuke. I think that you have to grow to a certain level, but I don't necessarily agree with it because you got a lot of people getting up with their opinions. And I've come to understand from my experience with people, from my time when I was in a cave, I've come to understand that some people are not necessarily where you are in Christ, but yet still, if they get one time to correct you, they start thinking that they're your spiritual mother or your spiritual father. I've come to understand, I've had many people who would do that, for example, on Facebook. If I posted something up and they didn't necessarily understand it, or I could have been in error with something I said, or I didn't explain it fully, and this is when I didn't have a church home, and somebody may come along and they may try to correct me. And I realized, you know what, I didn't put this up here right. I didn't kind of just, you know, pull out the details or something like that. I didn't give people a clear understanding. And I'll say, yeah, you're right. Amen. Or what have you. And I'll leave it at that. And from that point on, that person feels like they need to police my page. And so I can look at the person and measure them and say, this person is not where I am in Christ Jesus. This is a babe. This is somebody who's been in church for a long time, but that's a babe. So that person does not have a right or an understanding enough to constantly keep coming at me. And so they'll come to my page and they'll keep trying to correct things where they just misunderstand. And that's pride kicking in. And so from that point on, I've had to, you know, tell people, and I've ended up getting deleted many times. I had to end up telling them, hey, listen, you misunderstood what I wrote. This is what I mean. And because they were allowed to rebuke me one time, they feel like, well, you're being rebellious or what have you. And I'm like, you're not my spiritual mom, dude. You're not my spiritual dad. Stop. You know, you can come. And if I'm in an error, yes, correct that. But if they see anything from that point on, once you accept correction from a person, sometimes they feel like they need to police you. And so should the congregants be allowed to stand up? That is up to the leadership. I don't agree with it, but it's not my church to have a voice in that. And so if that's the culture of the church, especially if you were sinning publicly and he feels like this needs to be done to keep other people from falling, that's just the culture of the church. And so you can talk to him, you can have a meeting and say, that was really humiliating to me. It made me feel some type of way or what have you. You can have a meeting. I wouldn't suggest that you leave your church. I wouldn't suggest that just go. I would just say pray and ask the Lord, do a fast and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Or how would you have me to address the matter? But like I said, every church has its own culture. And so if that's the culture of the church, then that's fine. Now, if I'm the only person they've done that to, and I only see one person and nobody else is getting rebuked like that over the months, over the years, and I know sister such and such over here living in fornication, but I know that that's one of his favorites and all his other stuff, and he don't do her the same way, that would bring some problem into my heart. I would have to kind of pull him like, okay, you kind of rebuke me publicly or what have you, and you let everybody have a score at me, so why is it different for her? I would ask questions. So I would say, I can't say that is wrong. I don't agree with it. Public humiliation is never a good idea, but I don't agree with it. But if that's the culture, when you establish a church, everybody establishes a culture, their own rules and all that other stuff. And so if that's the culture of the church, then I'm not really qualified to necessarily speak into that. I'll just say, pray about it, do a fast and ask the Lord. Next question. Can your prayer room be outside? Can your prayer room be outside? Your prayer room can be anywhere. I've had many, many prayer rooms. My car is one of my prayer rooms. My prayer room in the house is my official prayer room. I have many, many prayer rooms. There are many places that I go to pray, and I oftentimes pray in the shower. I pray in my bedroom a lot. And so I pray in my living room a lot. I can actually say that my living room is probably an unofficial prayer room because I do most of my praying in here while I'm working. I may stop and start praying. I may start to intercede for somebody, but that's just, wherever you are. So I wouldn't say to designate the outside as your official prayer room, meaning that when you're in a house, you don't pray, because the Bible says to pray without ceasing. That does not mean to pray nonstop. It means to pray whenever you feel the unction to pray. Whenever you feel the unction to pray, don't have a specified time or in a specified place for you to pray. Just pray wherever God leads you to. Now, if you feel comfortable praying outside, yes, you can go out there every evening, go out there and start praying. But I would also say pray in your house. Pray in every room in your house. Pray wherever God leads you. Don't be sitting up in your living room, for example, at 1 a.m. and you feel the unction to pray, and then you go outside. You know, you want to make sure that, hey, if I feel the unction to pray, I'm in a place where I can pray. I'm in a living room. I can pray in my living room. And so, yeah, you can have that as a prayer room, but I wouldn't say have it as their designated main prayer room. I would say it would be one of the prayer rooms. But of course, that's up to you. Next question. Why are so many men in and out of the church undateable? Everyone is a freak, a bomb, a nut, or a loser. They are filled with lust and perversion. Why? I'm going to say something. I really need you to hear me with your heart. How we see people is a reflection of where we are. And so if everybody that I see is crazy, if they're a nut, they're perverted, they're sick, they're twisted, that means that I'm in prison. That means that I'm surrounded by prisoners. I'm surrounded, which means that myself, I am also a prisoner. It's always important for us to pay attention to what we are seeing or what we are noticing. And that help, that gives us a reflection of where we are. Oftentimes we think that we're in a better place than somebody else. But if that's all you see, that's a reflection of where you are. And so what I would tell you is just continue to study the word. Make sure you're studying the word every day. Make sure you're praying every day. Make sure you're fasting often so that you can come out of bondage. It takes time to come out of certain chains. You know, one of the things I've learned about bondage is this. The enemy can bind you in so many different places. He can bind you in your finances. He can bind you with your sexuality. He can bind you with your family. He can bind you in your relationships. He can bind you with your peace. You can be dealing with fear all the time. He can bind you with doubt. He can bind you with so many different things. And so oftentimes with deliverance, and I'm not talking about the deliverance when you say come out, manifest, and go. I'm talking about sometimes I can be studying and I'm getting delivered from fear, but I can still be bound in my finances. Now, I've gotten some measure of deliverance, so I got delivered from fear. I'm no longer scared. You know, I'm just sitting here and I'm trusting God more. I got delivered from doubt, because when fear came out, doubt started coming out as well. And so I started getting delivered from that. But when it comes to my finances, I may still be bound because I have an understanding that is not necessarily godly. And so you can be bound again in different areas, in different ways. And so if the only men that you are noticing are bound, it means that you're bound. A prisoner, it can be, if a prisoner is walking around a prison and they're saying everybody in here is a murderer, a thief, a robber, everybody in here, you know, they done some kind of crap. Everybody I see is like this. Everybody I see like that. Then it just means that the person is in prison. And so it's very, very, very important. When a woman says, for example, ain't none of these men no good, that means that she's still bound. That means that she's still bound. The men who take her attention are the men who are in her realm. The men who are in her realm of understanding. The men who are in her realm of interest. Those are the men who have her under her attention. It's the same thing with a guy. You know, I remember having a guy that called me one time, and he was a friend of mine. He would oftentimes talk to me about women, and he had so much bitterness toward women. He would just be sitting, he's like, these women ain't no good. You know, they walking around here and they got a big butt, but they ain't got nothing else going on for them. They got this going, and they, you know, and I had to come to understand, just listening to him, the type of women he was interested in. The man was attracted to Jezebel, but he wasn't attracted to her ways. Y'all got to understand that there was certain characteristics, certain traits in the Jezebel that he was attracted to. He was attracted to the woman who walked around and didn't mind showing off her figure. He was attracted to the seductive woman. He was attracted to the prideful woman. But when she began to manifest her pride against him, when she began to manifest her control against him, when she began to manifest certain things against him, that's when he would get upset. The relationship would end and he'd get mad. He called me. He's like, these women, they just stupid. I'm just trying to tell you. But he was a Christian man. You know, he loved the Lord and all that other stuff. But that just showed what realm of realm he was in. He was in a realm where his mind wasn't necessarily complete. Renewed. And so be thou changed by the renewing of your mind. What's going to have to happen is over time, you have to continue to get the word of God in you so you can break those chains. You break those chains. When you break those chains, you're able to elevate and your perspective changes. Because listen, when I go out, see, there was a time when I went out and I saw almost every guy around is a dog. Now, one of the things I thank God for was regardless of what I went through, I never felt like the whole, you know, male race were dogs. I never got a chance to get to that place, no matter what happened. And I think it's because, you know, I met some really decent guys over the course of my life. So I came to understand that they were out there. But there was a time where I felt like the majority of men were dogs and that there were a few good guys out there. And so I was determined to be patient enough and break up with as many dudes as I can until I got to the good guy. But the problem was my heart wasn't right. That's the reason why I was dating these guys. That's the reason why I was sleeping with some of the guys. That's the reason why I was doing the things that I was doing. But see, when God got a hold of me, When I submitted myself to God, when I started surrendering, when I started confessing, when I started coming before the Lord and saying, I need to be free, when I started laying things on the altar, my perspective changed. And so now when I look out there, I see there are a lot of good guys out there, but there's also some bad ones as well. I look at life from a reality perspective. There are some good, godly men out there. But there are a lot of ungodly guys out there as well. There are a lot of guys out there who are secular, even though they're Christian. I've come to see that. But at the same time, there are a lot of guys out there who are in the world, but they have more Christian attributes than some of the men in the church. Now, do you get with them? No, because they're still in the world. Do you get with the man in the church who's still kind of secular in his thinking? No, because he's still in the world. So the thing that I've had to come to understand is that you wait and you're patient for God to pick the one for you, for God to send the one your way. Now, you can choose your own. I tell people this all the time. There's God's permissive will and his perfect will. His perfect will, I can say, God, I trust you to pick my husband. Lord, I trust you. I'm waiting on you. You know when I'm ready. Then in his perfect will, God, he's not going to send a perfect man, but he'll send the person that he would have for me. Now, if I go out there and I get a guy and he's saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's single, it's not a sin for us to get together and to marry. It's not a sin for us to do that. But, you know, it's all a matter of what I prefer. Because of my history, I prefer God to choose for me. I prefer God to move for me. It's the same thing when it comes to, I'll say this for example, when it comes to my church. At my church, I'm just starting to go there. I'm a little bit over a year into the church. And so there are a lot of things I'm learning about submission and accountability. And so my leader has not and will never say, I don't want you recording videos. I don't want you doing this. Shut it all down. He has never said that and he would never say that. But it's up to me whether or not I want to submit it. It's up to me whether or not I want to be accountable. And so I can go if I want to grow, I can go and I can say, hey, listen, I recorded this or I'm going to record this and I want to submit it to you. And he can say, no, don't record that. Now, because I submitted it, I've given him permission. I'm saying, listen, I'm letting you take the charge. I'm letting you take the lead because I trust you as my leader. That's submission. But I can also be accountable. I can come and say, hey, listen, I recorded this and this is what I'm going to be doing. And that's accountability. Now, accountability, you'll say, okay, yeah. And he may even come in and say, hey, I don't think that was good or what have you, but it's not necessarily submitted. And so that's the difference. If I want God to move, I can go to God's perfect will and say, you know what, God, I would rather you choose for me. Or I can go into God's permissive will, which is I can be accountable with my relationship. And so again, I want to say this, not just to you, but I'm saying this to every woman out there and every guy out there who every time you meet somebody, they ain't no good. They dogs, they whores, that, you know, even in church, because I've heard people say, girl, the men in church are no good. That's because of where you are mentally. That's because you're still going into church and you're still wounded. You're still attracted to certain things. And because you're attracted to them, you have a tendency to attract those same type of people that you attract in the world. The only difference is they're wearing church shoes and a necktie. And so you're still attracting those same type of people. And so, of course, in your mind, in your world, everybody's like that, but it's not the truth. See, when you start to elevate in Christ, then you start seeing different things. Now, I can go to church and I can see a guy and I know he's bound. There is no attraction there for me. Zero. Zilch. Nothing. I'm not looking at that guy and saying, wow, kind of like that thug in him. I like that. No, I can be like, okay, yeah, you know, that's just a guy. I don't think anything past that, but if a man is filled with the Holy Spirit and he's single and he loves the Lord, then that man may grab my attention. He may grab my attention, but I'm not going to look at him and say, oh, I'm attracted to him. I may think, oh my gosh, he's cute. That's it. But so I say that to say, always pay attention to what you notice, because that's a reflection of where you are. I'm not saying that to be insulting, because I've been there before. That was a time when everything I saw, almost every guy I saw, was a dog. I don't see it like that anymore because I'm in a different place. I'm in a different place mentally. I'm in a different place spiritually. And hear this, I'm also in a different place physically. Because see, if you're going out and you're hanging out at clubs or you're hanging around ungodly people, guess what? You're gonna see nothing but dogs. Let's say, for example, you go to a barbecue at, let's say one of the church members, church member holds a barbecue. You know from experience talking to that church member is still worldly. It doesn't mean they're not saved. That's just where they are in Christ. They're still maybe a babe in Christ. They're not necessarily where they should be or where God has called them to be. Doesn't mean that they're not saved. It doesn't mean that they're a hypocrite. Doesn't mean that they're a bad person. It just means that they don't necessarily understand yet. And so if you come to that person and they say, hey, we having a barbecue, and you get over there and they playing all that profane music and people are twerking and all that, and you look over there and Bishop such and such is twerking, you look over there, there go his wife, she grinding on a dude. That lets you know that, hey, listen, they invited you because they can relate to you. That's a problem. See, the thing is, one of the things I came to understand is that if a person has a certain mindset and I'm not there, they're not going to invite me. If they have a certain mindset and I'm not there, 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to get an invitation. So if I get an invitation, that means that either I'm there or they think that I'm there. Either I'm there or they think that I'm there. And so when the bishop comes up over there and he's doing a little twerk and all that other stuff, that tells me, okay, I need to go home and pray or what have you. That tells me what is attracted to me. And it's also a reflection of 9 times out of 10 what I'm attracted to. And so I'll just say this. Let God renew your mind. Let God renew your mind. In this stage, don't date. In this stage, don't try to get into a relationship. Take your full focus and put it on Christ Jesus. Take your full focus and put it on the Word of God. Take your eyeballs and stare at the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. Don't come out of the Word of God. Continue to do that. And then as the Word begins to fill you, and I'm going to tell you this from experience before I move on to the next question. As the Word begins to fill you, your friends are going to start to fall away. This is what I learned, because I've had friends, even people who were in church, people who were saved before I was, I've had friends to fall off. Why? Did we have an argument? Did I start treating them wrong? No, we had just same conversation, but I'm not going to say the same conversation. My conversation changed as the Word began to penetrate me. My conversation changed. I no longer wanted to hear my friends talking about, oh, you know what? These folks ain't no good. These are stupid men. Even though they say, girl, all men are not like that. And so my conversation changed. And so they got tired of that. They got tired of that. They got tired of every time they call me up, I'm on the phone, I'm talking about good stuff. I'm happy. I'm filled with joy. I'm like, girl, God is so, so good. And they want to stay in a negative place. And so I came to find out that, you know what, that's a reflection of where I came out of, because can two walk together except they be agreed? We were in agreement at some point, but as I got the Word in me, I fell out of agreement with them. And as I fell out of agreement with them, they began to fall away from me. My friends changed. My circle changed because my mind changed. And so it gives a whole different perspective, because at that stage in my life, when I was hanging around them, knowing that they were in church and I was still somewhat in the world, I looked at them and I'm like, they more in the world than I am. Because even though, but they would go to church on Sunday. That was the difference. They didn't have a problem getting up and going to church after I didn't drag them to the club, or not necessarily drag them. I had friends that would be, beating down my door. Girl, we gotta go to the club. We gotta go get us a new outfit. Let's go get us a cat suit and what have you. It didn't take much for me to call them and say, girl, we're gonna go hang out at my cousin's house. We're supposed to be, playing cards or playing dominoes and everybody. And we know we going over there, it's gonna be a bunch of guys. They gonna be drinking. We're gonna be doing all. And so they came to understand it. And they would be like, hey, listen, let's go. Let's go. But that was my realm of understanding. That was a reflection of where I was mentally and spiritually. Mentally and spiritually, where I was, you know, was what determined where I placed my body. And so I say, ask the Lord to order your steps, your tongue, your thoughts in His Word. Stare at the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God. And as you do that, God will change your perspective. As you do that, He will change your perspective. And so I think I got one last question. If one has bad luck with the opposite gender constantly, does that mean there's a spirit of rejection, a curse, or some negativity over that person? This is kind of similar to the last question. And so it's the same thing. There's no such thing as bad luck. The reality of the matter is there are people out there, a lot of broken people. There are a lot of people who have all types of issues or what have you. And I've also come to understand that God is a very protective God. And so a man that may be good to me, that I may feel like he's You know, he's a really good guy. I feel like he'd make a good husband. But God said he's a good guy, but he's not good enough for you. You are looking at certain things. There may be certain things that attract me to him, but he's not necessarily right for my destiny. And so I found that the more you submit to God, the more protective he is of you. This is my experience with him. The more you submit to him, the more protective he is. He begins to show you the father side of him. He begins to act like the father. And so if somebody's not necessarily right for you, he will drive them out. He will put a hedge. He will confuse your language because you're trying to build together. Remember the Tower of Babel? They were trying to build a tower to heaven. And so what God did was he confused their language and it caused them to go away. And I've come to understand this is one of the reasons why I'm so solid with, I don't run around dating everybody. As a matter of fact, I got divorced in 2013. I have not been on a single date. Well, I've been on a half of a date. It was not a real date. A friend of mine kept insisting that I meet a guy, and she just kept insisting. And I went out to eat every week anyhow. And so I just told her he can meet me up there. And so we went. It was not for me. He was too old for me. One and two, I could tell that we didn't mesh well. And so I sat down, we were friends. We hung out, we laughed, we talked, but that was it. That was not the guy for me. And so I don't run around dating a lot of men. And the reason I don't do that is one, here's one of the reasons. I want to be able to give my husband a testimony of, hey, I waited. I want that because having been married, I found that that's very important to men. Having been married, I found that that's very important to men, that you can give them a testimony. Hey, I waited. No man wants to come along and find out that he's dude number three for the year. And then last year, there were like four of them that you dated or what have you, that you just walking around trying on dudes. Nobody wants to hear that. Now, I do understand we're still abstinent. You have to remain abstinent. However, no man wants to hear that he's like dude number eight who's taking you on a date since you're single living. You know, it makes a man a lot more secure to know that, hey, I've waited or what have you. I've turned some guys down. And so one of the things I've had to come to understand is that God, like I said, is a protective God. And so I don't go around dating. Another reason I don't date a lot, or I don't go around dating, is because I know God would drive the wrong man away from me. So I would rather pray and let God just move and let everything happen organically. I would rather just do it that way than for me to go out there and be attracted to a guy and he be attracted to me. And then we just go out on a date and I know good and well in the back of my head, I'm like, he ain't the one, but he is cute. He got a nice car. He's got this going on for him, but he ain't the one. Because sometimes we do that to entertain our boredom. I've seen that happen with many, many women. I will say 75% of women will date a man that they know that they're not going to marry just because they're bored and they don't have anybody and they just want to hang out. And then they'll get him on a date and they'll try to friend zone him. And basically what they're doing is saying, can you sit in my husband's seat until I find him or until he finds me? And so if every person that you're, every time you get into a relationship, everybody's falling away, it may be God saying that this is not your season for a relationship. You got to think of it this way. It's not necessarily that there's a spirit in you. It's not necessarily that there's a curse. Now, it could be a spirit that make you feel like you need to be in a relationship. And so that makes you go out there and date and date and date and date. Because you shouldn't have statistics. You shouldn't be able to come back and give any type of statistics and say, well, all these men are no good, or it's like everybody, you know, I can't seem to work with anybody. You should never be seeing so many people that you're able to come up with statistics. You should never be in that place. And so what I would tell you is just consider that maybe you may be in a season that God is saying, no, I don't want you in a relationship. Maybe idolatry is there. Maybe rejection is there. Maybe there are some things that God wants to deal with on the inside of you. And so God is saying, I want you off to my step. I want you to taste and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to taste and get, you know, just get a demonstration of who I am. I want you to know my heart all the more. I want you to know who I am as your God, as your father, as your protector, as your provider. I want you to know who I am. See, God had to introduce me to all of those different sides of him because I grew up religiously. You know, I tell people I went to church and my dad played piano. He played piano, so he went to a lot of churches and he would be a deacon in a lot of churches. I remember they would call him deacon, but he would play the piano in a lot of churches. And see, I was just accompanying him because I had to. You know, as a little girl, me and my brother and my sister, we would just have to go to church. We were kind of forced to come and we'd just be sitting there, You know, I remember those little small churches where the bathroom was stocked up and there would be walls everywhere. I'm up in there. I can't concentrate because I'm scared of the walls. I remember sitting in the pews and stuff. Like, I remember the smells. I remember being laid out by the hand to get a whooping because you acting up. That was the Green Mile. I remember in a Baptist church where you see a parent grab the child by the hand and start heading out the church. I used to call that, I used to think that's just the walk of death. And so, you know, they're about to go out there, and every Baptist church had a switch bush in the front, and they would go out there and get a switch and wear that child out. And so I just say that was my time. I didn't understand the different sides of God. And so as a woman, I went out there and I jumped into a marriage, into marriages, trying to find those different sides of him, those different qualities that I was missing. I wanted somebody who was going to provide when Jehovah Jireh wanted to be my God. I wanted somebody who would protect me when Jehovah Nissi wanted to be my God. I wanted somebody who would love me when agape, God is, you know, agape love. God wanted to show me his love, unconditional love. I wanted somebody to fill all of those voids when God was saying, let me manifest every side of myself to you. Let me get you. I want you to get to know all of these different sides of me. And that's going to deliver you from the dependency. That's going to deliver you from the idolatry. And so when a man comes in, I'm still Jehovah Jireh. When a man comes in, I'm still Jehovah Nissi. I'm still El Shaddai. When a man comes in, you're not giving up everything to be with him. And when a man comes in, I'm still Jehovah Shalom. Your peace ain't with that man. Your peace is in me. So if that man walks out that door, you ain't scared. You're not checking your phone to see how long he's been gone. When a man comes in, I get a chance to be everything that you need as God. And so that's what God wants to do with you. So if God is saying, listen, these relationships are not working, or you're seeing a constant stream of relationships that come in and they're not working, then it just simply means that you're not ready yet. So take the time out. And one of the things, and I'll say this before I close, one of the things that I'm an advocate for is not running around and dating a lot of people. As a matter of fact, don't just go out there and date. A man can't walk up to me, for example, and this is just where I am in Christ. I understand that people are in different places, but a man can't walk up to me and say, hey, what's your name? You know, you're looking good to me. Can I take you out sometime? No, we need to exchange numbers. If you are in Christ Jesus, my very first question is, where are you in Christ Jesus? And some people will say, oh no, that's a little bit too extreme. I've noticed that when I tell people that, they kind of cringe, but it's worked. It has worked. It has never stopped a man from wanting my number, ever, ever. Now, in one case, it stopped him from calling me, praise the Lord, but I want that. I want the man to back off if he's not the right one. But in most cases, the man is intrigued by that. He's going to call. And so if I'm sitting here and I'm giving everybody my number, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for my husband. I'm constantly pushing him back. And so I want God to come in and say, Tiffany, take this season of silence. And I know I had a point, I forgot all about it, but take this season of silence and just spend this time with me. I want you to hear my voice in this season. I'm not going to go around, like I said, and date all of the different guys or what have you. A man can't just walk up to me. That's where I was. A man can't just walk up to me and say, hey, what's your number? Can I call you sometime? Well, if I give him my number and, you know, he says, well, no, I'm saved. Yeah, I love the Lord with my whole heart. Matter of fact, I go over here to such and such, such and such. If I give him my number and we start communicating on the phone, I'm not trying to go out on a date with him that quick. See, the thing is, the reason for this is because, and I want y'all to hear me, because there are some people who don't necessarily understand it. There are some people in church who may not necessarily understand it. But get you to understand, every person has a past. Every person has an experience. Every person has some of the things that they've dealt with in their past. Me, myself, this is something I used to say when I was younger. This is something that I had to acknowledge when I was in the world. When I got out there and I dated, oftentimes I would provoke or I would attract people who had obsession. That was one of the things that I did. And at one point I used to think that there was something lodged in my personality that attracted those type of people to me. And I was flattered by it, but I came to understand it was a spirit at the same time. After I got saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I started to understand spiritual things, but I came to understand that there was a spiritual side to that. But because of those experiences, because there are some crazy people out there, because there are some obsessive people out there, I've come to understand that I'm not a person that should be out there giving my phone number away to everybody. Because a casual conversation with me, I could be just talking and I'm just I'm talking and I'm cool. I'm laughing. We're on the phone and everything's going good. And he says, hey, let's go to the park. And we go to the park and we hang out and we're doing this. And, you know, but all of a sudden, God can tell me that's not your husband. And if I can't pull back safely, if I got to worry about somebody being in the bushes, then that's not a good thing. There are some people out there who are broken. And I'm going to tell you what I've learned. If you have a nurturing nature, it's easy for a broken person to obsess over you. I've learned that about me because even when I was in the world, I was a nurturer. And so it's easy for me to get somebody and get into a relationship or even just start courting him. And I'm not even talking about sex, because when I was in the world, I didn't have sex with half the guys I was dating. But I dealt with stalkers, and I dealt with stalkers who weren't, I hadn't slept with. I dealt with a stalker I remember I had never even kissed. But so the thing is, sometimes you can get, and there's a nurturing side to you, and you can attract certain people who are wounded, and you begin to nurture. You're always talking, you're always speaking them up, and you're like, no, you're good. And you keep on speaking, and that man starts to fester an addiction or what have you, and he doesn't know how to get away. And so that's why I don't advocate for people going around dating everybody. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be like that, even with me. I believe if I dated 10 men, I'd probably come across one stalker in the whole 10. I'm not a person walking around thinking that all 10 men would be stalkers. I believe I would come across a stalker in one of them, or maybe two of them. But I've come to understand to use wisdom. God gives us wisdom for a reason. So that means that I'm not walking around just giving my number to guys and hanging out with them and just to see. It's better for me, or better for most people, to get on the phone, find out if the person is crazy or not. Talk to them, get to know their history, go to their Facebook page, kind of check them out to make sure that they're sound. Make sure that you know that they're good, that there's no issue. And then once we talked on the phone, it doesn't have to be a month. It can be a week. Maybe, you know, I can ask a few questions around or what have you. What church you go to? Okay, I know a couple of people that go to their church or what have you. If I look and I'm praying about it, then I may find out, oh, he's a cool guy. He's never had any type of crazy issues or what have you. Then if I feel like we're moving and we're going somewhere, maybe we can go out maybe in a week. I would say probably within 2 weeks to a month. Then we go out and we can hang out and we can talk or what have you. But I'm actually being very cautious. I'm using wisdom. I'm not just going out to eat with people just because they ask me. Just because they ask me. Because I want to tell you something. And this is for every single woman and every single man. There are some people out there who are absolutely fine. They are fine. I'm telling you, they drive nice cars. They got good jobs, but they crazy as all outdoors. They good and crazy. And you will look at them and try to figure out. I'm talking about, you will stare and try to figure out, dude, why are you even, have you seen yourself in the mirror? Okay, I said I'm not the one. You know I'm not the one. We clearly see this. We don't agree on nothing. I'm not the one. Why don't you just move on? No, because I'm just saying, all I ask you to do is change your ways. No, you're asking me to change my mind. You're asking me to change my character. You're asking me to change my plans and who I am. I understand I have to change a lot of those things for my husband, but you and I are not meshing. We're in a different place. And so it's not a good idea to be out there and just, okay, your friend called, I met this guy and I think you should hang out with him. Then you go hang out with him and it don't work. And then you go hang out with another dude and it don't work. You're going to come across crazy at some point. I say that to say, just be safe and take your time and let God do it. Be patient. The Bible says to be anxious for nothing. So it sounds like you may be anxious for marriage. Be anxious for nothing. Get to know God. I can promise you this, and I'm going to close after this. I can promise you this, and this is from my experience with God. As you get to know God more, as you begin to submit more, as you begin to pray more, as you take your eyes and take them off of the man, take it off of a relationship, and you put them on the Bible, and that time that you would be on the phone talking to a man, you take that time to be studying your Bible and praying, crying out to God and telling God your issues and stuff like that. Slowly but surely, it could be adultery. All of that stuff is going to begin to dissipate. It's going to start to lift. You're going to find yourself in love with God. You're going to find yourself wanting more of him. You're going to find yourself wanting to hear from him. You're going to find yourself, you know, anxious to speak to him, eager to speak to him. You're going to find yourself hungry for his word. You're going to find your appetite for him growing. And you're going to find such a peace and such a love that for yourself that is going to make you feel like, you know what? I want the right man. I'm willing to wait for the right man. That's where I'm at right now. I'm willing to wait for the right one. I'm not willing to get with the wrong one just because he's anatomically correct. I'm not willing to do that. And so I hope this bless you guys. And again, if there's a question that I did not answer, forgive me. I 9 times out of 10 didn't see a question. Anyhow, I love you guys. And I'm going to talk to you Thursday. Remember, Thursdays at 10 p.m. I'll talk to you then. All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.